And this is following on from the amazing, awesome miracle of feeding the 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Does anyone know what type of animal that is on the screen, or they are on the screen? Anyone know? Yes, Tim knows. This is good. Now, the slightly worrying sign is, so I will ask you, what type of animals are they?
Guinea pig and rabbit.
Actually, it's not a guinea pig, but you're right about the rabbit. They are, in fact, both rabbits, but I can see why you think it looks like a guinea pig. But they are, in fact, both rabbits. But thank you and well done. Now then, to the 90% of adults who failed to put your hand up there, it's a little worrying. And it does slightly wonder, make me wonder how far I'm going to have to dumb down this talk in order to for you to understand it. So this is the church. Right. So let me dumb down for you. What do rabbits eat? Okay. Carrots. I heard, what was the answer? Rabbit food is a brilliant answer over here. It's a tautology, but it's a brilliant answer. Yes?
Lettuce.
They do indeed. Lettuce, violets, what do they eat? What was that?
Dandelions.
They do indeed like dandelions. Anyone else know what they eat? Sorry?
Grass.
They do indeed like eating grass. I could do this all day. This is fun.
Celery.
Celery. They do eat celery. Apple. McDonald's, given half a chance. Sorry? Dave?
My brother eats chocolate buttons.
And apparently Dave's brother eats, his brother's rabbit eats chocolate rabbits. And as we continue to... Such a long week. Thing is, just never come back from holiday. Just keep going on the holiday. They eat chocolate buttons. Now, as we continue to plumb new depths... in this sermon, what happens sometimes after a rabbit has eaten this food? Something like this happens, right? I thought I'd set a challenge to myself of hitting a new low in a talk. So things like this are produced. Now, the thing about rabbit droppings... Say, new lows. The thing about rabbit droppings, and then because of their digestive system, children, don't try this at home, but because they're actually really quite dry. Rabbits digest twice. You know that? They digest twice. You look up on the internet how they do that. But it does mean by the time you get the pellets, they're really actually quite dry to handle. Now then, as I say, don't try this. Do this at home. Anyone want to try one? You want to try one? Right, yeah, do you want to try one? Anyone else want to try one? Okay. Anyone else? Yeah. I should probably ask if you've got any allergic reactions to things, but I think we'll just have to trust. Okay, then. Anyone else want to try one? So I'll try one as well. So on the count of three. Oh, one over here, and then we're done. I saw another hand over here. Where was the hand? Well done, Joe. Yeah. Yeah, they are vegetarian. That's true, apart from the ones that eat McDonald's. So on the count of three, should we try these? One, two, three. Wow. The blueberries. They're fine. Just trust me. Now you can trust me. You should trust me. I'm hardly likely in the middle of a service to take you out from the comfort of your seats, drag you across the stormy waters of the aisle, get you to stand at the front of something, and then consume a rabbit jobbing. You should be able to trust me. In the same way, and this is quite a leap forward, but bear with me, it's sort of, we can trust in God. God is not going to take us from a place of relative safety and ask us to do a terribly unpleasant thing. It says in Scripture, it says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make way your paths straight. And Peter was called to trust in God. He was in a boat. He was in a boat, and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Jesus calls to Peter and says, Peter, come out of the boat. And Peter comes out of the boat. And it says, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Jesus was called out of the boat. And there is a book. It was written about 10 years ago by John Ortberg. The title is this: If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. Yeah? If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. I forgot to check, but I bet we've got copies of this book in the book library at the back. Well worth reading if you get a chance. And if it's not there, you can borrow my copy of it. But in that book, John Ortberg says this: deep within you, and he is talking to you, the reader, deep within you lies the same faith and longing that sent Peter walking across the windswept Sea of Galilee towards Jesus. And the question is this: in what ways is the Lord telling you, as did Peter, come? We're all in our metaphorical boats, and Jesus is out there on the metaphorical water, calling us and saying, come out from the comfort of your boat and walk on these waters towards me. It says in Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God is always calling us forward. God is always calling us out of our boats. Sometimes he's calling us to take up things. Sometimes he's telling us to drop things. He's asking us to do things for him, but to not do things for him. To change from this behavior to that behavior. To maybe sort of pursue this interest and not that interest. I don't know. It could be a manifold of things. But there is a season for everything. And those seasons are always changing. And God is in turn always calling us to come out of our boat. And returning to John Ortberg and his book, he says this: let Peter's walk stand as an invitation to everyone. And again, that means you, it means I. An invitation to everyone who, like him, wants to step out in faith. He wants to experience something more of the power and presence of God. Which in itself contains a subclause, because it raises another question. Do we actually want to experience more the power and presence of God? Don't answer. But it's a question. Do we want to experience more the power and presence of God? Or are we, in fact, quite happy in our settled lives, in our very comfortable positions in these pews. But if we do want to experience more, then Peter's walk stands as an invitation to us. God calls. God is calling us out of that boat. God is calling us to do something else, to do something different for him and to experience more of him. But I do want to flag up a warning sign, because I think it is very easy for people who are preaching to stand and say, God is calling, God is calling, come on people, change, do this, do that, and encouraging you to move forward. And that's a good thing. But I do want to add a hazard warning, and that's this. Faith and trust is not the same thing as blind faith and foolishness. And people do very foolish things in the name of faith and belief. So I want to say, yes, God is calling you. I'm certain he is calling each and every one of us to experience more of his presence and more of his power. But don't be too rash in the response you make. Some things you might want to think through. If God is calling you, is the call biblical? Because if it's not biblical at all, then is it really what God wants us to do? Or is it just something we've kind of put in our own heads? This is about discernment. Another question, if something's tugging at our hearts and we're feeling restless and we want to do something, is it good? Is it morally good? Is it good for you? Is it good for other people? Does it enlift? Does it empower? Does it further the kingdom of God? Because if it doesn't do anything of those things, it can't be the right decision. It can't be of God. It can't be from a good God. Is it something that you have a deep conviction longing for? Is it something you know you should do? And I'm not suggesting, by the way, that these are necessarily big things. I'm not necessarily suggesting everyone should go out and sell all their goods and possessions. I'm not suggesting everyone should become missionaries in fields overseas. I'm not suggesting that. These could be other things that God's tugging away at us, incremental changes in our lives, which would make us feel more of God. Is there some conviction that you know's there? You know God's tugging away at you, and you're trying to ignore it, but it's there, and it's there, and it's there. And if it's there, jump out of the boat. Go for it. Is it personally enriching, or is it corporately enriching? Is this something, again, that's going to further God's presence in your life, but also, ideally, in the lives of people around you? Because I don't think God just cares for us, though I do think he cares for us. I think he cares for us and the people in the world around us. So is that change going to enrich not only you, but the people that you come into contact with as well? I've said the other one, will it further the kingdom of God? Will it challenge you in positive ways? Will it bring about a positive change? Do others agree? Have you got the confidence? Have we got an environment as a church where we can discuss honestly these things with each other? I have no idea. But we have opportunities in home groups, in triads, and in other ways to be honest and accountable to each other. If you feel God calling you, then lay it before other people as well. Let them help you discern whether it's of God, and see if they agree that this seems to be the right sort of thing for you now. Confessing, of course, to our deeper and darker secrets is a hard thing to do, but I think somehow we have to cultivate an environment as a church where we actually can do that, otherwise we can't really grow together. And are there other signs of confirmation? Are there just kind of, does this just thing kind of come repeating in different ways that gives you a sense that this is the right thing to do? And if all or some of these things are true, then I say again, I wonder if God is calling us from the comfort of our boat, our pews, as individuals and as a church, to walk across the waters, to walk towards him, and to experience more of his power and his presence. Returning to John Ortberg one more time, he says this: I believe that there is some aspect of your life in which God is calling you to walk with him and to him. Maybe it has to do with your work or a relational risk or a gift you could develop or resources you could give. It will go to the core of who you are and what you do. But he believes, as I believe, that there is some aspect of your life in which God is calling each and every one of us to walk with him and to him in a slightly new or enriching or changed way. I'd like to sum these up in ways that will stay with you, that will discomfort you, will unsettle you slightly as you come out of this church. Last time I spoke about mouldy Christians, if you were here. Now, I did say that I was going to plumb new depths in this sermon. And plumbing is, in fact, an apt way of the metaphor which I want to take with you. Because just like rabbits, each of us goes to the toilet from time to time. So here's the image that I would like you to take away from this service day, and which is going to now come back to you each and every time you go to the toilet. Ha ha! And this is it. Walk towards Christ. WC. See, you see what I did there? WC. Walk towards Christ. And the toilet on the left, that's at Warmley Station, and well worth a visit if you're ever heading that way. Thank you.